Chapter 1. Tay. Nearby called. Sen Sen. Come eat while it is hot. The two girls who came running over looked nothing like the princesses I fled Akatartan with 2 years ago. They were taller and their dark skin was now sun-browned. Neff was 10 years old, long-legged and possessing her mother's effortless elegance. Seti was 9, a little chubbier than her sister, and wild. They flung themselves down on the blanket where Henny and I sat, and reached for the food. Around us, other children returned to their families as the sand wanderers settled in for the evening meal. Children often went to whichever group they chose, and it was a rare night when Henny and I ate with both girls and none of their friends. A large central campfire gave us plenty of light to see by as the sun sank below the horizon, far away across an endless desert. Small groups sat at different points around the fire. The tribe mostly comprised the families of the sons of Old Man, the Sand Wanderer's chief. We were the only tribe members not related by blood or marriage. I studied Neff and Seti as they gulped down the soft white cheese we ate with bread and olive oil. Where Neff's hair hung to her shoulders in neat braids, Seti's was a tangled knot that looked like it hadn't met a comb in months. Neff kept her clothes tidy and almost always wore sandals, whereas every day Seti seemed to have a new hole in her sleeve or a frayed hem on her skirt. Her feet were typically bare and dirty. "What did you do today?" I asked. Seti didn't reply, too intent on eating as fast as possible. Neff, always the politer of the two, set down her bread while she answered. "We built a sand fort and hid inside it," she said. "We pretended we had run away and men were searching for us." It was interesting how often their games revolved around fleeing and hiding. Seti swallowed the last of her food and licked her fingers. "I am finished," she said. "May I go?" "Come give your grandmother a hug first, Sen Sen," Henny said. Despite how long we had lived with the Sand Wanderers, we still always used our cover names. It had been a long time since Seti had complained about being called Sen Sen. "I have hardly seen you for days." Seti cast a glance back towards her friends, but seeing the other girls were still eating, she allowed Henny to pull her in for a hug. "Oh, phew." Henny pushed her away. "Sen Sen, you reek. When did you last bathe?"
"I don't know."
"Have you bathed at all since we arrived here?" Henny asked.
"Maybe."
The look on Seti's face indicated she was sure she hadn't bathed since the last oasis. "First thing tomorrow morning," I said. "I don't want to see you at breakfast until you have bathed."
"Yes, Mama."
Seti's immediate acquiescence meant she had little intention of complying. I told myself to remember to make sure she did bathe tomorrow. Mothering the girls didn't come easily to me, and I often forgot to remind them about things like bathing or wearing a clean tunic. I figured they would do it themselves when they smelled bad enough, but perhaps I needed to pay more attention. It seemed smelling vile was no deterrent for Seti.
"I mean it, Sen Sen," I said. "There will be no breakfast for you if you come without having bathed."
"Can I go now?" Seti asked.
Neff set down her bowl.
"I am finished too and I bathed yesterday.
May I leave?"
"I am sure your grandmother will want a hug from you too, especially if you smell better than Sen Sen," I said.
"You can both go, but Neb, please remind your sister when she wakes up tomorrow that she needs to bathe."
Neff hugged Henny and the girls ran off. "I suppose they have more important things to think about than cleanliness," Henny said. We were silent for a few moments, watching as the girls quickly became immersed in a new game with their friends, until I realized I hadn't replied. "It does not excuse Sen Sen from not bathing until she smells worse than a donkey," I said. "But I don't think they have ever had friends before. I suppose this is all still new and exciting for them." The girls had adapted to life with the Sand Wanderers with apparent ease, swiftly making friends with the other girls, although I had forbidden them from revealing their identities or their real names to any of the children. They slept on blankets on the sand and washed in the oasis, or at least Neff did, and ate what the tribe did. They seemed happy, and it pleased me to see them playing with the other children without complaints or airs.
I couldn't remember the last time either had mentioned palaces or servants, hot baths or soft beds, or that their older sister was the Queen of Egypt. Perhaps they were starting to forget they had once been princesses. I suppose children forgot quickly at their age. Henny, too, had settled into our desert lifestyle, although perhaps not as easily as the girls. Her old joints pained her at times and she found it difficult to get up and down from the sand. Still, she didn't complain and she seemed content enough. The girls called her grandmother, and if either she or they remembered she wasn't really, it didn't seem to bother any of them. Our original plan had been to make a life for ourselves on the Red Sea coast. We would have fished and eaten eggs from the seabirds. I could still picture the little house I had intended to build for us. But it seemed I was the only one who wanted this, despite the promise of cool breezes and a more moderate climate. The longer we stayed, the more restless I felt. It seemed unlikely the men searching for the missing princesses had given up. They got to Neph once and stole her away, presumably intending to take her back to Akhetaten where they would kill the queen and put Neph on the throne, with one of their own to act as regent, of course. Eventually, they would catch up to us again. The only thing I didn't know was when.